1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendrick.
I just saw this, and I thought about the whole concept of shock jock. You know, there's this term that really lazy journalists use, and the term is shock jock. You've heard the term. It's used generally by individuals who don't know anything about radio and really don't want to learn anything more about radio, and for the most part, use that term to apply to a lot of different kinds of people on the air. There's a lot of amateurs working in radio these days. Now, who are the guys that just got fired? What did they do? No, not Opie and Anthony. There's another crew that got canned out of St. Louis or Phoenix, and they called up the widow of the ball player from the St. Louis Cardinals. You remember this poor guy that died? What's his name? Klein? They called his wife and asked if she needed a date now that her husband was dead, right? See, there's a difference between funny and asshole. You know what asshole is. That's that. Funny is funny. Now, why do guys like that do that? Why do disc jockeys, shock jocks, why do radio personalities do that? Well, I'll tell you why. Number one, they're amateurs. They really ought to be selling tires at Firestone. They should be out selling snowshoes, fitting people for ski boots, saying things like, yeah, if you get up that end of the river, we'll take you up as high as maybe Mount Crest, but then I got to leave you off there because I ought to come down and pack all the bear dung into a vat and, you know, fry it up for dinner. They should be doing a gig like that. But they got a job in radio. Now, that's number one. But the bigger problem is, of course, the program director, the general manager that they work with. And these guys are the biggest amateurs going. Now, I got a 30-year career in radio. Let me tell you what, I've worked with some programmers and general managers that should have been selling vitamins door-to-door. I don't know what they should have been doing, but being in radio wasn't one of them. So when you got a guy and you put him on the air, and the station that did this is a fairly prominent radio station in Phoenix that probably ought to be carrying my show because we have some concept, and I'm honest to God, I'm saying this very honestly. We have a concept. We have a conception of how to do radio satire. It comes from a great deal of experience. It comes from an innate ability to be funny. It comes from talent. And it comes from a real fondness for the medium of radio. We like being in radio. Eventually, we would like to get out and do television. But right now, we're very fond of radio. But I am also fond of motion pictures, too. And if anybody in that business is listening, I want you to know that I'm also fond of motion pictures. But I'm very fond of radio. I love radio, although I'd leave it in a second for the right deal from a major television network. Now, but I do. I like radio. Guys that do this kind of stuff, and if you just join me, what I'm talking about are some disc jockey who called up the widow of Daryl Kyle, who was the St. Louis Cardinal who died, and said, what's the exact quote here? Because it's a beautiful thing. It's a piece of work. The manager of a baseball team has denounced a DJ who phoned the widow of one of his players to ask if she needed a date for a playoff game. Why am I going into all of this? Well, here's why. There's shock jocks, and then there's Jerry Falwell. Jerry Falwell's a shock jock, too, only he's got everybody conned. Jerry Falwell has said, because nobody's paying any attention to him lately, he just came out and said that Muhammad, the founder of Islam, the Prophet Muhammad, was a terrorist. Why did Jerry say that? Because nobody cares about Jerry Falwell no more. Jerry is out there adrift, a large blimp in a cheap brown suit, floating over whatever small area of domain that is still left to him, his face bloated, his nose a schnozola, red from the jug of wine that I'm sure comforts him in his loneliness. And Jerry gets on TV on Sunday nights there from the, what do they call it? What's the thing? The Liberty Minister? I don't know what the hell it is. It's from some burg in Virginia, and his big fat face fills the television screen. In fact, on some Sunday nights, Jerry's face is so large that it spills off the margins of the screen, and so all you see really are the pores of his nose and his two bloodshot eyes. And Jerry comes out and he says that Muhammad's a terrorist. Now, you got the President of the United States who's trying to cool it out, right? You got Bush saying Islam is a religion of peace. We are not at war with Islam. We are at war with Islamists, terrorists, and individuals that wish us harm. We are not at war with Islam. Long comes Jerry, ever helpful to the president in this country, and says, oh, by the way, Islam is a gutter religion, and the founder of it is a terrorist. All right, Jerry, yeah, that's the way to pull it all together. That's the way to cinch it up, baby. That's what we needed. That's all we needed. Right when we got people wanting to burn down mosques, you got guys beating up anybody that's got a towel wrapped around their head, anybody that walks down the street with what looks like a bath towel over their head, and they're getting their ass kicked and left to die, and we're trying to cool it all out with, you know, a fairly consistent amount of truth about Islam and Christianity, and you know the rhetoric, you know, it's probably true. You know, all religions are good, it's all the people who practice them are bad. Religions are all fundamentally good. And along comes Jerry, just to kind of add a little fat to the fire, just to put a little sizzle to the steak, and says, Muhammad's a terrorist, and oh yeah, did I mention he's a pederast, and he liked to bang underage girls. That's great, Jerry. Thanks so very deeply. That's what you call being a shock jock. Now do you understand? Saying something for the sake of saying it. In other words, saying anything just to see if you can get somebody off of their ass and come after you. That's what you do. That's what that to me is the definition of a shock jock. It doesn't take any talent. It means you're a little kid with a stick and you're banging on a garbage can lid to see how many people you can wake up in the middle of the night. That is a shock jock. Somebody goes, ding, 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 you know. No talent, no skill. There's nothing deft about that. That's simply just a stick and a garbage can lid and you're hammering on it until someone opens up a window and throws a freaking bowling ball at you. That's Falwell. He's on the other end of it, see? And where are we? We're all stuck in the middle, having to take a whiff of all of it, don't we? Or as the man said, it's a big do sandwich, and we all got to take a bite. You and me, Craig, Janice, Chris, we're all in the same boat. We go to work hard, come home, play with our kids, watch a little Sopranos, grab a little Sex in the City, a little bit of that 6 feet under, maybe have some of your wife's good home cooking, go upstairs, grab a little more home cooking. Have a little dessert, pass out, choke on your own vomit. That's life in America. But we are stuck in the middle between the guys there in Phoenix and this cat Falwell with his shock jock approach to religion, Muhammad is a terrorist. Thanks so very deeply, Jerry. We're trying to get this thing squared away here, baby. Don't you understand? We are trying to not only fight a war on terror, we're also trying to kind of keep everybody talking to each other. We don't want a whole lot of suspicion. We already got a lot of people getting out of control, man, thinking they're being profiled because they got a good tan. Some guy lights up the room with a smile in the middle of the night. Suddenly, we got to profile this guy. Guy's last name ends with an A. We got to profile the guy. Guy gets out there and got into a tanning booth. We're profiling him. Just because they call me Sunshine, we're profiling a guy. Likes to eat watermelon, profiling a guy. Fried chicken, profiling a guy. Eats some of that lamb in a pita pocket, profiling a guy. Cat sits around another 5 minutes and shoves $5 into a belly dancer's G-string. We gotta profile him. Everybody's getting profiled and everybody's uptight about it. The country is kind of tense these days. Along comes Jerry because he's sitting back there in Lynchburg, Tennessee, or where is he from? He's back there in Broken Whistle, Virginia, and he sits with a sullen look on his face, staring at more successful preachers, just holding very loosely in his right hand a bottle of Gentleman Jack, and in the left hand, with a few cubes of ice and kind of just a watered-down mixture of JD, his tie loosened, his big gut rising and falling. He's breathing through his mouth, and he looks at the TV, and he's,
this guy's a screw. I give a good goddamn bump.
Reverend Falwell, you're on and fucking...
Yeah!
So he gets on television, he has to say something wild, and he says the whole Muhammad is a turd line, thank you. And just when we thought we'd have this thing chilled out. So that's the definition of a shock jock, and I think we ought to start applying the definition a little bit more to guys like Falwell, cats like that Ralph Reed, and the rest of these... clowns. Who was those two guys that went off to Iraq? Those Democratic guys, too. Those guys, too. Somebody, anybody that runs their mouth with some extremist point of view just so they're going to get their face on the front of Newsweek because Time Magazine, you know, it won't have you. Because nobody reads Time anyway. All right, 1-800-449-8686. What's kind of like saying that Jerry Falwell learned sex with his mother in an outhouse? You know, same thing. Only that was Larry Flint. Only Larry was funny. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, we are looking at this story in Washington, D.C. about the guy or woman or kid that is shooting people with a high-powered rifle. Have you heard about this? It's been in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. It's one of these stories that's been on the front page of a lot of newspapers, but it's nothing that you really need to know anything about because we follow these stories only because we're in the news business. But let me just tell you that it's about somebody who is running around town with a high-powered rifle and killing people. I think he shot five people on Wednesday, and they may attribute a sixth to him last night. And I thought you'd be interested in knowing who these people are that commit these kinds of crimes. I have a little bit of knowledge because I was at a radio station in South Florida where a person out in front of our station planted a bomb and killed a pedestrian. And I got to talk to a number of police officers investigating these kinds of things, and they have a profile of people to do this. Now, imagine someone who sells things on the telephone. Imagine somebody whose primary job is to make telemarketing calls. I'm not putting down that profession. But I will tell you this much. There are people who work in that profession who feel a great deal of frustration and have relieved that frustration by placing obscene phone calls, for instance. Threatening phone calls, obscene phone calls. Telemarketers, people who have to take endless amounts of crap every single day. And you can well imagine, hi, I'm calling for Time Magazine. I'll blow it out your ass. Thank you very much, sir. You're welcome. Click. You have to have a smile on your face. Well, like the guy at the limousine service on Saturday when I had to fly to Las Vegas and they were late and I called the guy up and I said, where's the car? And he said, well, I'll give you the number. You can call the driver. I said, I'm not going to call the driver. You call the driver. And he said, no, you call the driver. And I told the guy to do something with his mother and also with his daddy and a couple of his sisters. And he said, thank you, sir. You too. I said, okay, bye. That was the conversation that we had. So these are people that take a lot of abuse, and as a result, they feel like they got to let off a little bit of steam. Some of them want to let off steam in ways that are illegal, that are vicious, that are homicidal, and they're essentially powerless people, is what I'm saying. Now, for instance, your random bomber. This is a white man who generally has some military experience, who generally holds very strong political points of view, but he is very much withdrawn, doesn't have an outgoing personality, sits and lets things kind of stew inside of him. He's always the guy, you've heard it said a million times, he was a quiet guy. He always used to sit there and drink a Yoo-Hoo, and he had a Mars bar, and then he'd go back to the mill. I don't know why he did this. He'd always go back to where we make the baby doll furniture, and he never got upset. But they're guys that are sitting there just waiting to explode. This is the way these guys are. Same thing with these dudes that are these random shooters. These people that do things anonymously. Anybody that does anything anonymously, writing an anonymous threat, a threatening letter, anonymous phone calls, shooting people anonymously, blowing people up anonymously, all of these people represent the same kind of person, an extremely powerless person, somebody who doesn't have a whole lot of connection to the rest of the world, someone who is possibly has already gone over the edge, but is definitely not in touch with the world. And the guy is withdrawn. Like I say, he is, I don't know why, but this is the facts. He's mostly a white male, young, between the ages of, say, 25 and 35. And somewhere along the line, he snapped. but he has absolutely no influence, no power, and is not a very impressive person. This is something cops already know. Did you know this? Craig already knew it. Did anybody? Craig read the book already, so Craig knew that. Did you know this, Chris? He's shaking his head just to make me feel better. Maybe I'm telling you guys things you already know. Janice, did you? You've got your sucking on that pen like, okay. What book did you read? Craig read a book, Portrait of a Serial Killer. Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer? That was a movie. Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer was the one with Michael Rooker where they dropped the television set on the guy's head. But that was a great movie. So that's what they're looking for with this guy that's running around with a gun shooting people. Same thing with people. You remember the freeway shootings? Same thing. How more powerless do you feel than when you're sitting in a car and people are sitting there around you and they're doing things in their automobiles that you're taking personally? Naturally, the guy got up this morning and thought he'd cut you off. He looked for you, he found you, and he cut you off. People take things personally. It's the number one thing in automobile accidents and these mishaps and road rage. It's the number one thing. The guy cut me off. He did it on purpose. Yeah, that's what he did. He did it on purpose. He knows me. He knows my car. He knows my life. He knows my frustrations. And he decided to make it even worse by doing this to me today. Yeah, he got up this morning and he went and found you. That's right. Okay. Well, you're healthy, aren't you? What are you talking? Come on, man. The guy didn't even know you from Adam. It's like yesterday when I was on my way over here. Some guy got in front of me, didn't use a signal. I leaned on my horn. I flipped him off. I threatened him with violence, but I realized he didn't mean anything by it. Now you got this guy who's shooting people in Washington, D.C. Some guy, and I got money that says he lives alone, he lives with his mother, he lives in the basement, he may have an interest in guns, maybe he collects Soldier Fortune magazine, maybe he has a collection of weapons downstairs, nunchucks, those spinning blade things that they throw in the movies. He's got switchblade knives. Maybe he has a collection of old Nazi paraphernalia. But basically, he doesn't have any friends. And he probably has a job working in the stockroom of Toys R Us. Or he, whatever he does. It's like Bill Murray and What About Bob. You know, he does some home-based thing. That's the guy they're looking for. Those are the people who do these things that are anonymous. They seem big time because that's exactly what they want to seem to you, big time, big and powerful, but they're the smallest, most insignificant, most pathetic people. I don't mean, you know, that from a point of anger. I mean, it's a sad thing. Some guy, in fact, at one point was so screwy, he thought the government was stopping women from talking to him, so he went out and shot up a cafeteria. This is called schizophrenia. This is when you think the government is speaking to you through one of your fillings. This is when you think someone's talking to you and they're speaking to you through a dog. You know, there's a radio transmitter inside of a dog. David Berkowitz, guys like that. These guys are really off the beaten path. Now, Berkowitz was way out there, but this guy that's doing this, high-powered rifle, skilled shooter, he could be a psycho, but I think he's just a frustrated person who has finally gone off the deep end. And he figures he can get away with it. That guy in Miami that planted that bomb, I don't know if they ever caught that guy. But I remember talking to this cop for months afterwards. They had one particular homicide detective assigned to that case. You could tell this cop was obsessed. He kept coming back and asking questions. He really wanted this guy. Because the anonymity of the crime and the brutality of the crime was so vicious, it made you so angry, you wanted to find the guy and just end his life right when you found him and take your chances with the court, you know? You just wanted to find a guy, put a pillow over him, smother him, and take your chances with whatever court of law. That's how vicious and horrific it was. That's what you want to do to people who commit these crimes anonymously. That's what I want to do with my kids, for instance, in the morning, you know, when somebody cuts a fart. All right, who did it? I didn't. Come on! Come on, who did it? I'm not going to say. I think about it all day. Right there in the car, driving them to school, and they have the temerity to do that. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, I don't know. We're going to do a contest here, and we're going to give away a Jay Sanos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. The contest is called Queer or Near Queer, and it's very simple. Guess whether this person is queer or near queer, and we'd like to thank our listener, Larry the Listener, for this idea. And we thought it was good enough that we'd try it on the air right now. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I have 9 questions that I will ask you. 9 celebrities that you have to correctly identify as either queer or near queer. And you'll win a citizen's... Well, what you have to do is get... we have 9. So I'm going to take 6 out of 9. If you get 6 out of 9 correctly, 6 out of 9 correctly, you'll win a Jay Sanos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. By the way, if you go to our website, philhenryshow.com, you can pick up that Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. And you can also pick up a Ted's Beverly Hills bowling shirt. And, of course, our Best Of CDs, all there on our souvenir shop website. That's philhenryshow.com. Go to the souvenir shop. Look it up. Now, whoever I pick is going to be the contestant. Now, which of these two that you've got up so far would you say is the better caller, Chris Pelton? Quickly. All right, let's go to Scott. Scott?
Hello.
Have you called us before?
Yeah, it was about a year ago.
All right, see you later. All right, so that just leaves Jay. Jay, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
So when'd you call us last?
I've never called the show.
Really? All right.
But I love the show.
Jay, the game's called Queer or Near Queer.
All right.
You need to get 6 out of the following 9 questions correct.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
I am ready to go.
Jay Leno, queer or near queer?
Near queer.
You're wrong.
Oh, his wife's a man, I guess.
Jay Leno is a queer.
Yeah,
his wife's
a man.
All right, here we go. Dennis Quaid. Just take it easy there, Jay. Next question. Dennis Quaid, queer or near queer?
Near queer.
Correct. Very good. All right, so you got 1 out of 2. Here we go to number 3, Russell Crowe, queer or near queer? You've gotten 2 out of 3. Randy Moss, queer or near? You've gotten 3 out of 4.
Mm-hmm.
Bryant Gumbel, queer or near queer?
Queer.
Now you've gotten 3 out of 5.
Oh, he dresses in his mom's clothes.
Who dresses in his mom's clothes? Bryant Gumbel?
Yeah, I heard that. I saw that somewhere, yeah.
Oh, that's wild. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The Rock, queer or near queer?
Always in the trunks with the men, queer.
All right, now you've gotten yourself 4 out of 6.
Mm.
You need 3 more. Isn't that right? 3 more? Yeah, 3 more, and you're there. John Cobalt, queer or near queer?
Near queer?
Very good. 5 out of 7. Johnny Knoxville, queer or near queer?
Retarded and queer.
All right, that's 6 out of 8. If you get the next question right, you are the winner of the Jay Sanos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. Jay, you ready?
Big money. Let's go. No whammies.
Wait, hold on for a second. No whammies. You're watching that Game Show Network, aren't you?
I love that.
Larry King, queer or near queer?
Queer.
No, you're wrong.
Oh.
You're wrong. Larry King is near queer.
Oh, so close.
See you later, man.
I did pretty well.
Thanks so very much. Thank you. All right, so that cat was so close, man. And I can assure you that these contests are not rigged. The answers to these questions were determined before the show, and the gentleman that called, Jay from Wichita, I wouldn't know him from your mama. Jeez, he was just right there. Larry King, queer or near queer, and he said near queer. No, Larry King is a full queer. So we're sorry about that. But let's see, what did he get right? He correctly just guessed Jay Leno was queer. He almost got it. Almost got it. Well, we'll do another round of queer or near queer next week on The Phil Hendry Show. But remember, get your hands off of me. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now, KSLT, K-Slut, 1490 on your dial, serving all of Cloverdale with powerful rock, presents the Skippy and Frank Morning Show. Wacky, wild, edgy. Featured in last week's Pork Belly Weekly, Skippy and Frank. Being interviewed this week on Cable Access, Skippy and Frank.
Boys and girls at the hour, it's 446 here, Skippy and Frank Show. I'm Skippy.
I'm Frank.
We got a show for you today. We're going to do a stunt. We're going to pull a stunt. It's going to be fantastic because we're going to pull a stunt.
Yeah, it's going to be really great. We're going to pull a stunt.
Going to pull a stunt. And also, of course, got the big contest going on. Hang your ass out the window of your car and win a Skippy and Frank t-shirt. But first, what do you say? We go to traffic. Let's go up there to Bud Hall in traffic. Bud, what's it look like?
Skippy and Frank, right now, I look like an awful mouth down there. I hate both of you, and I wish I was doing another job. Fuck you.
All right, now I'm going to explain. Should I explain to people?
Yeah, explain to people what we're going to do.
Well, it just seems to us that... Well, you remember about, a year or so ago, when that chick was missing, right?
Yeah, what's her name anyway?
Chandra Levy.
Chandra Levy, that's right.
We could get fired for this. This is going to be so much fun.
And what we're going to do now is we're going to go... Just wait and see. Just wait and see, okay? Now, we're going to call up some people right now. We're going to call up Chandra Levy's parents. And we're going to pretend that I'm Chandra, all right?
All right, you got to get on the phone, okay?
Okay, watch out. Go ahead.
Right away.
Yes, hello.
Is this Mr. Levy?
Yes, who's calling?
This is Frank from the Skippy and Frank Show here in Cloverdale, 1490 on your AM dial.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Well, we have somebody that you may want to talk to.
All right, whoever that could be.
All right, well, here she is.
Hello, Daddy. This is Chandra. I need to be picked up at the bus stop.
You bastard, you.
Oh, that was so great. That was out of sight, wasn't it? Why don't you call up and tell us how bitchin' you thought that stunt was? Give us a call here. That's 1-800-SKIPPY-FRANK. 1-800-SKIPPY-FRANK and tell us how out of sight that stunt was. Wasn't that great? It's got out of command of Bud Hall there. Bud Hall is in the traffic. Tell us what's going on in the traffic. Commander Hall, are you there?
I'd rather not work with you guys.
What an asshole!
Boy, no kidding. God, this is getting cutting edge radio.
All right, let's get some calls. What do you think of that stunt?
Yeah, Skippy and Frank! That was radical!
All right, let's go to the next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Guys, turn the music down for a minute.
Who's this?
It's Ron Jameson. I'm the general manager.
Oh, sure, Mr. Jameson. What's up?
You two are fired. You can leave the studio right now. We're just going to have Ronnie come in and run music until 10 o'clock, until Jamie gets in, okay?
I understand. We're doing a voice show.
I said to turn the music off. Turn it off. Julie, come on in and do the weather, and come on in, Jugs. Everybody, you guys are fired. Get out.
I don't style it.
You know very well why you're fired. You call up Chandra Levy's parents and say, "Hi, Mom and Dad, I'm at the bus stop."
But what about Opie and Anthony?
Yeah, well, Opie and Anthony, man, you can go play cards with them.
I don't understand it.
No, you never understood anything, Frank. Get out of my radio station.
Can we play the music?
Go ahead and play your music and do the thing.
The Skippy and Frank Show is off the air. They suck.
We're just like the Grease Man.
Oh, Christ. Now I gotta get another morning show. Where are Mark and Brian? Are they, give me their phone number, will you?
Oh, we're having a little bit of fun there with the old Skippy and Frank thing. But, you know, that's making a point, see? We're making a point. And that's what we do here on The Phil Henry Show. We make interesting satirical points. We point out how we're on target and how other shows simply don't, really don't know how to do it. Just don't know anything about how to get it done. But we do. And we're here all the time talking to you about the different things that we do. What, who's this? Yeah, David, what's up?
I was driving home listening to you, and I was kind of impressed.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you were making some good points, you know, about being tasteless on the air.
Well, I think so. I mean, those guys in Phoenix.
Yeah, I heard about the guy in Phoenix wanting to call up the guy's widow and take her out on a date. Was that it?
Yeah, some slob.
Yeah, I can't believe a guy would do something like that. And that Skippy and Frank thing you just did, that's great. Chandra Levy, still alive, calling the parents.
Right, well, you know, we're making the point.
You're making the point between the difference between cutting-edge satire and just being a, what was the word you used? Oh, yeah, asshole, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and kind of like a guy that would say, hey, I'll honor your Windows on the World coupons if you'll put my name on the World Trade Center Memorial.
Wait a minute, David.
Wait a minute, David, what?
When we had Ted Bell
on... When you had Ted Bell on, you were doing the same thing those guys did in Phoenix.
No, I was not doing the same thing. He was saying...
Well, what was he saying? Go ahead, genius. Go ahead, Lenny Bruce. Tell me, what was he saying?
You know, you don't have to be sarcastic.
Oh, well, I'm not going to be sarcastic. Go ahead, tell me. Educate me. Let me learn from you. What was he saying?
We had on Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, who said that he was going to honor the Windows on the World coupons, but in exchange, he wanted his name on the World Trade Center Memorial.
That's what I just got done telling you. What was the purpose of that?
To show how things can be overly commercialized.
What?
To show how things can be overly commercialized.
Oh, well, that wasn't tasteless at all, was it? That was showing how things can be overly commercialized. Tell you what, Phil, I'm gonna...
Are you trying to compare me to that guy that called up Daryl Kyle's wife? Trying to compare me to Opie and Anthony?
Tell you what I'll do. I will, I'll be the agent for that clown in Phoenix. You know why he called that woman and asked her if she needed a date? Because he was satirizing and commenting on assholes that would call up widows and ask them for dates. How about that, Phil?
Now, that's not fair.
No, that's fair. That's exactly what it was. You know, you give me a real royal pain. You're going to pretend like you're some kind of an artist when you're making some kind of a comment? You had that Ted Bell on your show talking about, hey, listen, if you bring in that Windows of the World certificate, I'll honor it, but you got to put my name on the World Trade Center Memorial. And, oh, yeah, let me put the daily specials on there, too. Didn't you?
Yes, I did, okay?
Guess what? Charlie Tuna's available for this time slot so you can pound your commercialized crap up in Spokane. Yeah, see, now you see, don't you? And I'm the guy that's got to take all the phone calls.
I still say that what we did with Ted Bell was way better.
Oh, really? Why? Because you did it?
No, because I don't think there's any reason for a guy to call up a woman and put her through that.
But it's okay for you to put all those people who lost family at the World Trade Center through it because you're making some big point, isn't it?
How many people who lost people in the World Trade Center?
You're on in the New York area. You're on in the Philadelphia area. You're on in the Washington area. People around there listen to you. I don't know why, but they do. I haven't the foggiest idea why they'd listen to you. You know what? You're done today. I want you to go home and think about this. I'm going to call Dr. Laura at the break and have her come in and do the voices. And
David.
No, I am serious. Laura's been talking to me recently. She wants to stretch. She wants to try comedy. I'm going to let her come in and do the voices today.
Wait a second. Are you trying to tell me that Laura's going
to
come in
here? What did I just say it to you? You want me to repeat it? Yes. When we go to the top of the hour break, I want you out of there.
Are you telling me you're going to bring Laura Schlesinger in here?
Yes.
The doctor who does the...
That one.
And she's going to come in and do fake voices.
Yeah, she does a Larry Grover. She did a Larry Grover voice, and she did that... who's the slut you do? Bobby Dooley? Dead on!
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's been working on it.
Why?
You want to know why?
Why?
Because I asked her to. Because I knew you and I would have this meeting. Because I knew this day would come. I knew the day would come when you'd step way over the line. Today's the day. didn't know what day it would be, but today's the day.
I'm humiliated, you know.
Why?
Because I got Dr. Laura coming in here to fill in my show.
You want to hear a tape of her?
A tape of her doing what?
Of her doing Bobby Dooley.
Yeah, I'd like to hear this. Go ahead.
Hold on for a bit. And so Steve and I are, really...
Wait a minute.
She's fantastic, listen!
Going to try to go out to the, Fall-tacular. It's going to be fantastic.
Would you look at that?
That was Laura.
You're damn right that was Laura. I want you out of there. I want you to go home and think about what you just did.
What did I just do?
You had some Chandra Levy calling her parents bit.
Well, I did that because of that guy.
Yeah, but you also did that whole thing with the Windows of the World, and there was another time about mangling a kitten and then serving it as toast spread. I didn't find that funny either. I want you out of there. Plug your friggin' website and get out. Plug it!
All right, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. You can get, you can get... What?
Make sure you put the mic sock on for Laura, too. She doesn't want to be breathing your spit.
Go to philhenryshow.com and you can... Forget it. I hate this job.
You got yelled at.
This is the Phil Henry Show.
How does the military feel, or the young military? Can you hear me, RC?
We're basically, Mr. Henry, we realize it's getting pretty hot over there. It's getting pretty dirty, and a lot of us may not come back. I don't know where they might bury me, but I look at things for the last time in a lot of ways, knowing that we could be going to Iraq.
But you're in a military academy.
That's true. I am in a military academy, but if there's a call-up of any significance, I could be in line for call-up. And that means we all have to be prepared.
You're a junior in a military academy, and people just joining us, this is R.C. Collins. He's a junior at Bradley Military Academy, and it sounds like you're in a car?
My father has called for me. He lives in Mill Valley, and I'm going to visit him for the weekend. I haven't seen my father for about a year and a half. He has business in the Far East, so he sent his driver down to pick me up. But I'm excited about that.
Well, great. But again, getting back to Iraq.
Yeah, getting back to Iraq, I think all of us who are in the military or in the military academies, we know that, I don't know, this could be the last time that we see America. So knowing that we're going to a country where we may perish in the name of freedom, we hope the American people will overlook the fact that we may take certain liberties with women, perhaps some of them underage. And that's, I guess, the thing that I wanted to say.
You, when you go to Iraq, and understand, you are not, you're in a military academy.
Well, Mr. Henry, we're on the front lines of defending this country. I'm in a military academy. When I graduate, I could be in the Marines or in the Army too. So.
All right. So you are saying if I heard you right, we hope the American people will overlook the fact that we may take certain liberties with women, perhaps some of them underage. What do you mean by that?
Well, sir, I think I'm speaking to you man to man. When a fighting man goes into a situation where his life is a risk,
and it's no holds barred, and some of the fighting could be hand-to-hand, too. Some of it could be hand-to-hand, which is the most dangerous kind. And it could be a battle that would last for hours, but in the end, all I'm requesting on behalf of the men who could lose their lives in Iraq, that the American people understand that if I take some comfort with a 14-year-old woman, and it might possibly be against her will.
This is a war crime, son.
Well,
now, hold on for a minute. If you're talking about raping a woman, an underage woman, this is a war crime, and it's also against the military code of conduct.
I understand that, sir.
Do you want, you really understand that? You're asking the American people what?
Sir, I understand that, but that's why I'm on your show. I'm simply requesting that the American people overlook certain inevitable associations with our presence in Iraq.
Well, now, you know what, man? You're starting to speak a lot of gobbly...
Well, let me explain something. I get pulled out of the line with only a few hours of sleep, without a hot meal in my stomach for a week and without a drink. And I see something nice walking down the road with her kids or something sweet on a camel. That's fruit on the vine, and you got to pick that fruit.
Even if it's against her will?
Well, I like to think, and we got a saying at Charlie Company, you give me 2 minutes and she'll be calling my name. You know, I'm a...
Son, this is a war. You're in a military academy. This is a war...
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Are you in the Army? I don't think so. Are you in the military? I don't think so. I'm closer to the reality of war than you are.
I just got done telling you that this is a... To say that you are asking the American people to allow you to take comfort in a 14-year-old, quote, woman... even if it's against her will in Iraq, it's a war crime, it's against the military code of conduct, and even more so, it's not what American soldiers do. Maybe Russian soldiers, maybe French soldiers, maybe Italian soldiers, but not American soldiers. Do you understand that?
Mr. Henry, I'm a United States American military soldier. We're the dream catch of foreign women. Foreign women. And I will tell you something.
Wait a minute. I want to be clear. You're talking about rape. Where is your morality? I don't think you understand that what you're talking about here, the American people will never stand for it, no matter how angry we are at Saddam Hussein. It does not justify...
All I have to do, Mr. Henry, is show the American people that the hardship of a soldier demands that he take his comfort where he can. This is an honor for a foreign lady to have an American soldier. It's known in the military as winning the hearts and minds, and the ladies will be proud to have a baby, what is American.
All right, if they're going to be proud, if they're going to be happy, if they're going to be doing it, if they're going to be digging it, why do you got to take against their will?
There isn't really a thing called against their will during wartime, sir.
You're over there to fight for freedom.
Excuse me, sir. If I'm going to fight for a word, my word is poontang. And the thing that...
Okay, I'm going to give our number here. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This young man in a military academy is basically asking permission of the American people. Not asking permission. Are you asking permission?
I'm not asking permission, sir. We're asking them to simply understand.
Asking the American people to understand that if it gets a little hot and heavy over there, can we overlook the fact that you may take some women against their will?
Mr. Henry,
I just want to be clear here. That's what you're saying.
Mr. Henry, when the American women see how hard up the fighting men are for sex, they'll get jealous of the Iraqis and they will put out more. We're doing the...
Wait a minute. The American women will put out more?
Well, they'll be jealous of the Iraq women that we want.
Have you ever been in war?
It has not yet been my honor, sir, to fight in combat, no.
All right. Have you ever, been a soldier... on a foreign soil, in charge of civilians?
Sir, it has not yet been my honor to fight for my country, but God willing, and I say God willing, I'll be in Iraq before the end of the year.
All right.
We, Mr. Henry, please understand, we're doing the Iraqi women a favor. You're a woman in the world today. There's no better thing to do than to spread it for an American soldier. Freedom comes to those who will give it up to the fighting man.
So in your world, freedom translates into putting out for an American soldier.
Not all women, just the ones that we select, and the others may wash their clothes at a river or what the foreign people do. A lot of them wash their clothes at a river, and they can do that. We'll let them do that.
But the young ones you may select for your pleasure.
We would like to be allowed to take our comfort with some of the women, and please excuse us if some of them are under the age of 14.
Oh, my God. It's not going to happen.
Excuse me, sir. This is the reality of war.
Well, the reality is this, my man. That's a war crime based upon the Nuremberg, the Geneva Convention, and it is against the military code of conduct, and it's against the basic morality of the American...
You still aren't listening to me.
Well, what are you saying?
I'm asking the American people to overlook certain things so that we can get Saddam Hussein.
They won't do it.
Well, I disagree with you.
Why?
Because I think the American people are scared of Saddam Hussein, and they want to get him out of there, and they can overlook the fact that maybe we want to be with the younger women and take and have sex with them. Hello?
I'm here. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. I'm talking with a young military academy cadet.
In war, Mr. Hendry...
Hold on for a minute, son. I'm talking to a...
Well, you can take son, sir, and do what you want with it. I'm a cadet.
Yeah, well, I'll call you son, and you'll like it.
In war, you can take what you can, 14 or 80. It's all good by me. Turn them upside down. They're all sisters to me.
You know, son, you're saying a lot of stuff. You sound like a big man. You sound like you're talking real big. I don't think you'd know what to do with it if you had it. Okay?
You'll see. Only father calls me son, okay? And you'll see...
And where are you going right now?
My father has sent for me. I'm going up to our home in Mill Valley. My father has a home there. 15,000 square feet with a tennis court.
Does your father know your attitudes?
My father's very proud of my service to our country.
Does your father know your attitudes about believing that it's okay to take the native women of Iraq sexually?
My father understands. My father fought in the Vietnam War. He didn't fight. He was in charge of supplies, but he saw a lot of guys who in body bags.
Your father did what? He was in charge of supplies?
Yeah, he had a really good thing. He ran supplies down near a motor pool. He came back. He made more money selling, like, whiskey and stuff to the GIs.
Oh, I heard about guys like that. Used to gouge the GIs for their money. Gouge them for their pay and charge double on the whiskey and everything else. Your dad was one of those guys, huh?
Mr. Hendry, my father served our...
Your dad was in the rear with the gear, gouging the GIs on whiskey and beer and everything else, wasn't he?
I'm not going to answer that question. I think it's unfair.
All right, let's keep it off of your dad, all right?
And I think you're punishing my family for my opinions.
All right, let's keep it off of your dad, and I'm not going to punish your family. Rape is against the law.
The American people will think otherwise.
I don't think so.
I do.
1-800-449-8686. Marilyn, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. R.C. Collins, how old are you?
I'm 17.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Hi.
Yes.
This is Marilyn.
Hi.
I have a daughter that's in the military, and to tell you the truth, I'm so proud of her. It's wonderful. But I am absolutely appalled at what I'm hearing from this young man, or I don't even want to call him a young man, because I don't think you are a man.
You need to understand the realities of battle.
You don't need to tell me about military. I have family that
have
is
you,
in military.
Have you been
and
in
you
the
don't
dirt?
Need to tell me about war.
Okay.
I've been through the Vietnam War.
Have you had your ass in the grass? Have you had your ass in the grass? You haven't had your ass in the grass.
Now you listen to me.
Well, you haven't had your ass in the grass either. Go ahead, Marilyn.
You listen to me for a second, okay? Because I listen to all the bull that you
You never had your ass in the grass.
Just
listen to
the lady.
You know what I'm going to tell you? You don't deserve to be in our military, and you do not deserve to have USA anywhere near you. You don't need to have that on your
uniform.
Ma'am,
we're talking about Iraqi
women. You don't even need to have the United States flag on your uniform.
We're talking about Iraqi women.
Because your representation of the United States is so bizarre. I don't even know where you came from. You don't even need to graduate.
These are Iraqi women, okay? They're not American
women. They are women like I am a woman.
They're barely civilized people.
Well, you know what I think?
Wait a minute. These are civilians.
You're uncivilized by what you're thinking you will do to them.
Ma'am,
that's my point.
I'm about to give my life for our country, and you're going to be
threatening me. You know what? I don't care if you give your life for whatever you want. But don't represent my country if that's the reason you're going to war. If you're having a problem having sex, you need to go pay for it somewhere. Because nobody's going to give it to you because
of
war.
We're going
to
be putting our lives on the line, and all I'm saying is, if I could take a few liberties with some women, what's it to you?
It's rape.
What's it to me? Because you're doing it in the name of the USA. But, and that is me. I live here.
Yeah,
and I do not
they,
want my name being represented on somebody that does something like that for the sake of war.
But once
that's
they
a bunch
have,
of baloney.
Once they have sex with me, they'll enjoy it and they'll want to be my wife.
You know what? I think you're living in a cloud.
Ma'am, there's an old term that we use, and I don't want to be crude, but having sex with Iraqi women's like getting sloppy seconds because they're not quite up to American women.
Oh, man.
You're old enough to know anything.
Exactly. You're using terms you don't know anything, all right? And you're talking terms. Thank you very much, Marilyn.
All right.
Is your daughter in the military? Hello? See, her daughter could not have an Iraqi woman unless she's a lesbian.
I don't know what a lesbian is. Is that a photographer? You mean a lesbian?
A lesbian, yeah. And so her daughter...
Yeah, what about the American military women? You know, kid, there's a lot that you're saying here that is scary, scary, scary. First of all, this young man, R.C. Collins, who's a member, goes to a military academy in Altadena called Bradley Military Academy. Because he will be putting his life on the line for America, because he could lose his life in Iraq, he is asking the American people to overlook the fact that they may take certain liberties with the native women of Iraq, some of them underage. As I pointed out to him, it's a crime, it's a war crime, it's against the military code of conduct. He says, not if the American people don't look down on it, it won't be. Do you think fighting the war in Iraq and getting Saddam Hussein out of there and making the world safe is worth the assault of Iraqi civilian women by this kid and whoever else agrees with him? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Or better yet, how do we get guys like that out of our military? Our number is 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
My father said most of them would really be approving of it.
Well, I don't think American women approve of you going over to Iraq. And as you put it here, take some comfort with the ladies of Iraq, whether it's against their will or not.
I think the American women, look, this is how you distinguish the men from the men and the boys from the boys. American women will find it exciting to watch us with the Iraqi women because they'll see what's coming home to mama.
You're a kid.
What's that supposed to mean?
You're a kid. You don't understand anything about sex, love, or life.
Well, I'm not really talking about taking a woman against her will, because once she sees that I'm an American soldier, she'll want to be with me.
All right, let me go to Trent. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, listen here. Here's what I have to say. First of all, you have no idea what an American soldier is.
Are you a soldier?
Yes, I am a soldier.
Yeah, what's your unit?
Listen.
What's your unit?
Charlie Company 141 Infantry.
Baloney, Charlie Company.
Infantry, buddy. I just got back from a 6-month deployment in Kuwait. I was at the New York Cabal, 9 miles south of the border of Iraq. Okay?
My unit's Charlie Company 2.
Infantry, Fort Riley, Kansas, buddy. Look it up.
I've been around
for quite a while.
In a military academy.
Did you do any Iraqi girls?
No, I didn't. You want to know why? Because you have no idea. You have no idea what an American soldier is. Your morals and your basic principles of standard are absolutely so out of whack, okay? I can't even believe it. You're disgracing the American people, the American military, and the American society as a whole.
But wait a minute. You're in the Army. I wanted to be in the Marines.
It doesn't make any difference whether you're in the Army or the Marines. It's the same thing.
I'm infantry, okay? Infantry, I'm a ground soldier who fights. I'm a 240 gunner. That's a machine gunner. 27 pounds, 7.62 millimeter. Okay, you got any questions, you ask me. I know everything there is to know about infantry soldiers.
Okay.
You, on the other hand, know nothing. You're in a military academy.
Let me ask you something.
Do anything but go to school.
You don't have any idea
what real military's like. You don't go out. You haven't spent 6 months in the desert where it was 148 degrees during the month of July.
That's what I've been trying to tell him, Trent. I've been trying to tell him he's in a military academy.
I'm going up to see my father. He has paid my way into the military academy. He's one of the top industrialists on the West Coast.
Okay, and you know what? That's fantastic. But let me tell you something. Your father has no idea what it's like to be a soldier. My grandfather served in Vietnam as an infantry soldier. He was a company commander. He has a Purple Heart, Silver Star, and a Bronze Star.
Well, so what?
Oh, so
what?
Your father and my friends, but you know what? Your father has no idea what it's like to be a soldier either. My cousin served in Desert Storm as an infantry soldier. My family knows what it's like to be a soldier. You, on the other hand, have absolutely zero idea.
Okay.
Military academy is no different than going to a college.
Right.
Going to a college, okay,
right.
And with a small piece of military life.
I got a gold star.
What do you mean you got a gold star?
What's a gold star there, Chief?
What
is it?
Tell me
what a gold star is. Chief.
In drilling, we give out stars once a week. I got a gold star in parade.
Oh, whoopity freaking do, man, because you know how to march? Big whoop, man. I got an idea for you. You ever spent 6 months in the desert without any basic needs?
We went
basic
camping.
Necessities?
We went camping at Joshua Tree 2 summers straight.
Oh, you went camping. Oh, man,
camping
that must have been
Joshua
tough.
Camping at Joshua Tree.
You guys went camping. That must have been really tough, man. I wish I could have gone camping.
It was the same thing. You guys camped. You sleep in a tent.
Oh, it's the same thing. Was it 148 degrees? Did you lose 27 pounds?
Well,
no, you didn't. What do you know about being a real soldier? You don't know jack, buddy.
And I'll
tell you what. I almost can't listen
to you. Okay, let me ask you a question. What color was John Wayne's hat in Green Beret?
John Wayne's... Oh, you're going to go to a John Wayne movie, and it was green.
It was green, you idiot.
It was green, yeah.
Because it's called the Green Berets.
Yeah, hey, retard, that's Special Forces, something that you would have no idea about. You might know something about being special ed because you're retarded, man. You are retarded.
Trent, thanks for your call.
He's it!
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Should it be legal for our soldiers to take comfort with Iraqi women, whether they like it or not? Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
R.C. Collins is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. You are on your way now to Mill Valley, San Francisco, to speak with your father, and you're anticipating that he is going to talk to you about taking over at least a limited control of his company?
Yes, sir. My father is involved in production of boat parts, boat propellers. He manufactures drive shafts for shipping, and he's been doing this for quite some time. His corporation has been interconnected with the defense industry in California for some 30 years. And so this is an exciting time for me. And what I'm trying to say to you, and I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea, I believe that people such as myself should...
Are you trying to get out of your commitment to your country, out of the military?
No, sir. Collins, CC&C Incorporated, simply needs me as a COO, and so I am not looking to get out of my duty to my country. I don't want to be up front yet. And
well, you told me that you want poor guys, poor kids.
Well, not poor kids, but people who are not going to inherit a company. I'm going to inherit a company, okay? So
in other words, you shouldn't go up front.
I know you think it makes me sound spoiled, but it's not about that. I need to be kept safe so I can take over.
What about your duty to your country? What about your duty to be a soldier?
Sir, I want to do my duty, but I don't want to go to the front until all other means are exhausted. And by that I mean other soldiers who don't have as much at stake, who may not be inheriting a company, who...
In other words, they're poor enough to die.
I think that's unfair, Mr. Hendry.
Well, I believe that's what I'm saying, and I believe that's what you're saying.
I think that's very unfair.
1-800-449-8686. If you care to comment on Mr. Collins' idea that because he's inheriting his father's company, or at least a part of it, he should not be one of the first called up, but should be one of the last, given the fact that he'll be in charge of a major company. You're going to propose to do what they did in Vietnam. And what they did in Vietnam is they sent all the poor kids, all the guys that weren't in school, all of the guys that had no money, all the guys that had money could stay back here and go to school. You want to see the same thing, don't you?
Mr. Henry, we acquitted ourselves very well in Vietnam. So, I don't know what you're trying to say.
I'm saying that I don't think it's fair to send poor guys to the front and let the rich guys stay in the rear.
I'm not saying let the... I'm simply saying in my case, Father has sent for me. And he has...
I know Father sent for you. You already told me. What's he going to do, dress in a little smoking jacket and have you sit with Mr. Mustard in the parlor and you guys are going to go over the books?
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, that's probably what we're going to do. And I'm sorry you're bitter that you don't come from a family like that. But we're very influential. I need to be with Father this weekend to plot out the course of our company. And I will not, under any circumstances, risk my life for the United States Army, this country, or anything else which may do harm to a 30-year legacy of a great company.
And so if that means some guy who doesn't have any money goes to the front first and gets killed...
That's just the way it's going to have to be.
That's just the way it's going to have to be.
That's right. When you look at people who run companies, they employ people and stuff like that. They hire people. If I get shot up, what good would that do?
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The number here on the Phil Henry Show.
Mr. Henry, sir, if I could jump in. We only need so many cafeteria workers, okay?
Well, what does that mean?
It just what I said. We only need so many cafeteria workers.
So he might as well go over there to Iraq and get shot.
We only need so many cafeteria workers.
So he might as well go to Iraq and get shot.
You heard what I said.
Here is Shelley on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. We only need so many cafeteria workers. We also need...
Oh, my goodness.
You know what?
Oh, my goodness.
You are blowing my mind. Probably
well,
most semi-intellectual individuals in this world. Let me explain something to you, son. A lot of these guys that are going to go
Father calls me,
way up. I don't know your name. I don't want to know your name. I'm not really proud to hear what you're saying.
My father
is not right.
My father has sent for me.
I'm glad he sent for you, and I hope you get there, and I hope he keeps you. Thing is, it's who died to make you any better? What in it? What in specific is it about you that makes you any better than any of these other individuals that may be called up?
May I answer that?
You have parents that have money. Hang on. You've got parents that have money. But that doesn't mean you're going to work any harder or be any smarter or any more, have any more common sense than any of these other individuals that may be in your situation.
And am I stand to inherit a $200 million a year business, one of the largest manufacturers of defense industry parts in the world. I'm not going to go over to Iraq and risk getting shot up by the Iraqis when a guy who's going to come back and be a cafeteria worker could just as well do the job for me.
Then why are you in the Army? Why do you want to join up? Why do you want to go over there?
If they need me, when they can bring me up when it's safe.
Why is your safety any more important than anybody else's safety?
Because...
Who died along your family line and taught somebody else along your family line? It's like, don't let us die. We're just too perfect. We're just too perfect.
Grandfather Collins
was one of... I don't think that's what you've got going.
Ma'am, Grandfather Collins was one of the founding members of the New York Yacht Club. Okay, do you want me to keep going?
No, I really don't, because all it does is make you sound
founding
as though you're
that...
kind of embarrassing yourself.
No, I'm not embarrassing myself.
You really are.
I must be kept safe.
Do you want to wear a uniform?
Of course I do.
Do you want to go to Iraq?
If it's necessary, yes.
What will you do in Iraq?
I would be kept safe at the rear until they give the all clear. Then I'll go forward on a tank.
That's no way to win any glory or to have any sort of stand of courage. And it's not a real mark of honor to be the last one. The last one in is where you want to be.
Shelley, I've got all the guts in the world. It just so happens that Father needs me safe to take over operation of the West Coast plant. Otherwise, I'd go in and I could smoke 100 Iraqis in a minute. I'm R.C. Collins, Richard Colin Collins IV, inheritor of CC&I Industries. I'd smoke 100 Iraqis, but I can't. I've got to be kept safe. Father sent for me.
Will you shut up with that, man? Shut up with Father sent for you.
Who cares who sent for you?
My father sent for me.
Well, all right, your father sent for you. You're on your way in the limousine. You told me you got the driver there. You don't want to go to Iraq. You want to get into a uniform, but you want to wait till they feed a bunch of guys into a meat grinder, a bunch of guys that come back to the States and be cafeteria workers.
Well, how many of those do we need?
I guess we don't need that many. I guess we can take the surplus cafeteria workers and feed them into the meat grinder that is going to be Iraq. Is that it?
What a bitter man you are to go along with this bitter lady. I'm sorry
I'm sorry for you, Mr. Henry.
I stand to inherit a $200 million a year business.
Shelley,
had you been kinder to me, you might have taken my arm and walked into the future with me.
Oh, listen to this. Now he's coming on to you.
Great.
Now
this
he's coming on to you.
Well, coming on to her, she's an American woman. The finest woman there is on earth. An American woman. Are you white?
I am.
Are you white?
I am an...
Are you white?
I am an American woman.
Are you white?
I am... You know what? That's offensive. Why should I tell you what my color is? That could be
I want to know what quality. I want to know what quality of American woman.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
All right.
Shelley, thank you. Thank you. I got to get going here. I got another call. Ron, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Ron, hello.
Hello.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Okay. To this young man, I would like to say, you are a wuss. You're a sookie baby.
My father sent for me.
You have no idea what life is about. You have no idea what the military is about. I have been in the United States for 27 years, originally born in Canada, have been in the Canadian Army, and your disrespect for women
Wait a minute.
For your country and for uniform is totally, totally ridiculous.
Was you in the Canadian Army?
Yes, I was.
Is that the same kind?
Hey,
same kind of what?
Is it the same kind of army that, like, the Americans have?
My father was in the Canadian Army, and they fought in World War II, and they...
Yeah, we know all about your dad, Mr. Henry. Jesus. Every time he's on here, he talks about his dad.
My old man was in the Canadian Army, too, Ron, just so you know.
Good.
Yes.
Good
and
for
they,
him.
And they fought bravely in Italy and North Africa. And
you're right.
In Italy and North
particularly
Africa.
The Royal Canadian Artillery.
Yeah, right, and the D-Day and all of that. So what's your point?
My point is,
young man,
do you guys use
go
guns?
Play with your teddy bear. Go play with your teddy bear.
Can I ask you a question?
You have no idea what you're talking about.
Does the Canadian Army use guns?
Don't answer him, Ron.
Pardon me?
Don't answer him.
Say hi to the Canadian Army for me, if he's home.
Young
real
man,
smart
your
real
father
smart
must
ass.
Be totally embarrassed.
Father has sent for me, sir, so that we can have a meeting about his eventual retirement and my taking over of the COE.
The
well,
COE,
your company
huh?
is bound to flounder to total failure, let me tell you that.
We will fail, sir, only if I'm remanded to Iraq and I get shot by an Iraqi
Get lost.
Yeah, well...
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, sir.
That's a real tough mascot, that Lee, by the way. Talk about wimp.
You know,
I have no more to say to him.
This is the Phil Henry Show. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
The voice of the preceding character, who was R.C. Collins, was performed by me. That was me and the people that called. They thought he was a real guy, and thus we are reduced to this rather classless, tactless, styleless way of telling you what our show is about. I don't have an Ed McMahon here. I don't have a beautiful Vanna White. I don't have someone who can come in, parade around in tights with round three on a card. It's just me telling you what our show is about. And if you'd like to know more about our show, go to our website, philhenryshow.com. It'll explain the whole thing to you. We've got audio archives up the wazoo. We got 30-day archive of our show. Go back 30 days. You got every single show that we did that you can listen to. We have a listen live line, which means you can listen to the show on demand throughout the day, no matter what time of day. We also have a souvenir shop, and we have a Phil's Diary, a wall of female listeners, just a number of things. We got a fun house. You can play Hendroids, which is a really cool video game. And coming soon to our souvenir shop, coming very soon, the best of the 2002 Phil Henry Show, title of our CD, World Famous, because we are the world famous Phil Henry Show, a double CD set. Get a load of this. You're going to love it. You're going to hug a fire pole on this one. You're going to grease yourself up all the way to the elbow. A double CD set priced the same as the single, $20 plus shipping and handling. That's right, you heard me right. $20, just like last year's, baby, but you get double the bang for the buck. $20 plus the $350 shipping and handling. This is going to be awesome. And we're going to do signings, and we're going to get out. Last year was kind of a depressed year. I'm sure you would agree. We're not going out and being festive last year. But this year we're going to go out. We're going to do signings. We're going to meet and greet. We're going to glad hand. We're going to slapbacks. You know, it's gonna be a very large time. We hope you can, you know, we hope we'll see you out there, although we haven't planned any yet, and we haven't even made the CD yet. So listen to me. Aren't I getting a little ahead of myself? Gee, I hope we see you out there. I don't know where it is. But anyway, the 2002 CD, The Best of Phil Henry Show, World Famous, is coming soon. Now, from yesterday's show, Dean Wheeler. Dean owns an import-export business. He's been doing business with Baghdad for years, and he doesn't want a war with Iraq because it'll screw up his business.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Those kids in Palestine know what's going on with war. It's about time the spoiled children of America figure it out, too.
You know,
and if we put their hands into a pile of goo, beefaroni, see, that's what happens to someone's face
Mr.
when a bomb
Wheeler,
goes off.
Mr. Wheeler, I'll tell you something. You really offend me because a friend of mine died in the World Trade Center on September 11th. And you know what?
Sure.
I know how. Excuse me, I'm not finished.
Well,
I was quiet while you were speaking.
Well, I don't
you
believe
quiet
you.
Quiet while I'm speaking.
I don't believe your friend died there.
Wait a minute. Have some respect for this.
Why would someone lie about that?
I think
that
you're
is
right.
a sick thing to lie about.
I
why
know.
Would anyone
so why
lie
are you doing
about
it?
That?
So why are you doing it?
What? I
why
am
are
not
you lying?
Lying, and I am truly offended that you would even think
you
that
didn't have anybody
would lie
died.
About that.
Would you
like
just
to know
give would you give the lady the benefit of her experience and the benefit of the doubt and just believe that somebody she knows died in the World Trade Center?
No, I won't.
You know what?
Well, then just have the Merritt, go ahead. I think we
you know
all
what?
Understand.
Millions
she's
of families were affected. Millions of people were affected by what happened on September 11th.
Well, then why
however,
are you for peace?
However, excuse me, can I finish? However,
I've been waiting for you to finish
people,
for 20 minutes.
Excuse me?
I've been waiting for you to finish for 20 minutes.
I'm
You've been butting in.
So I've been on the phone for less than five. I do not believe that they think Saddam is going to hide under their beds. I don't think they believe that anybody's going to turn to chili.
The Green Party started the whole thing. You guys are responsible
okay,
for 9/11.
We do not threaten children.
You're responsible for 9/11, though. The Green Party.
How do you get that?
What?
Oh, all of their pussyfooting around. It made the Arabs think they could blow things up. See, when
oh,
you push
no,
your foot around...
Me,
wait a minute.
The Green Party was in power when
Saddam
took over.
Saddam had friends in the Green Party.
Wait a minute. Are you in the peace movement?
Yes.
And Merritt, you believe in peace with Iraq.
What peace movement? Sir, I want to know the name of your organization.
A Coalition for War Against Iraq. Now, you people in the Green Party don't even let your kids eat beef. You know, all of that pussy stuff that you guys do.
Do you know my children?
No, but you guys
you
are all vegetarians. Aren't you all
vegetarians?
Aren't you all vegetarians in that deal?
No.
You're not.
Every green person is not a vegetarian, just like every idiot is not a member of the coalition of whatever you are.
The coalition against war against the
Iraqis. Like you should not go around shooting off his mouth about things he doesn't know about.
I know about peace, and I
you
know that my family's losing $6.5 million a year. And
oh, there we go with the business again.
Yep. I think that's exactly what this is.
Let me ask
Every
you something.
Every time
do
you start
use...
to talk about people, before you mention the people, you mention your business.
Well, Merritt, you know
that
what?
Interesting
you know,
that
I
the
think
first
it's interesting.
Thing that comes out of your mouth is money
I
or business as opposed to the people.
I'll ask you a simple question. Do you use deodorant
me,
and shave
I wasn't
your legs?
Finished.
Do you use deodorant and shave your legs?
Of course. Is it your business?
I don't think you do.
All right. She doesn't have a friend who died in
I'd like
center.
To know where is your business so I can come and show you.
Where's my... What are you going to show me?
I'm going to show you my hairless legs, mister. I'm going to prove to you
okay, that's
that
fine,
I don't lie, that you are a liar, and you know
all
what?
All right, you know what? Then you better pull that dress up pretty high.
Okay. Merritt, thank you.
Well, wait, you're not letting me...
Sir, I've heard about your $6.5 million. Kids are going to turn into beef.
Okay, you shave, right? Is that right, ma'am?
Are you still talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you. Do you shave?
After that disgusting comment that you just made, you think I deserve...
Wait a second. No, hold on for a minute. You said you shave, and yet you won't pull that dress up high enough to show me.
She said her legs.
I'm not wearing a dress.
She said her legs.
She said she shaves. I think she ought to be able to show me. Well, what? How far?
And do you... Forget it. I'm hanging up because
you know, I don't think
you know
that,
what? No one can ever win.
Okay, see, she loses.
Idiots like you,
who
think
they
know everything
party,
and who will not listen.
The
to
Green Party
logic.
Claims. The Green
you
Party
cannot,
claims.
What do you know about the Green
the
Party?
The Green Party claims that they shave their genitals and they don't. And I am asking
what?
You.
Where do you get these things?
I am asking you.
Okay, I'm going to hang up on
I want to know where you get your information.
I want to know if your curtains match your drapes or are the drapes gone.
What?
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
That's a beautiful thing there. That was Dean Wheeler, owner of Wheeler Import Export. Please, no war against Iraq. It'll really impinge upon his flying carpet business. All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com. See what there is there for you. Don't forget to visit our wall of female listeners. We only have 36 women that listen to this show. You might want to go and see what they all look like. They're there on the Phil Hendry Show, wall of female listeners on philhendryshow.com.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
The Budweiser not being inherently dangerous, though.
I'm not saying that it's Budweiser. What I'm saying, Mr. Henry, is this happened to me after I had after I drank Budweiser. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying that it happened to me after I drank Budweiser, and the fact is that it was one of the most frightening things that's ever happened to me before, because Friday night is the night when men are susceptible. And because it makes men have, I think, sex with low-caliber-looking women. What happened to me could not happen, I hope, doesn't happen to any other man.
And so you've requested a meeting with several congressmen for when?
For early November, so that this won't happen to another man, this thing that happened to me, so that other men won't be vulnerable.
Well, what? Tell us specifically what happened.
On September 27th, 2002, that was last weekend, I was at the Manhattan Beach Rusty Pelican, which is a bar and restaurant in Manhattan Beach, California, and I usually never change brands from what I drink. I usually drink Captain Morgan's and Coke. You need to know I'm a very handsome man. I have done a lot of extra work for Mr. Jerry Bruckheimer, and I've also appeared in some adult films. I've been told by women that I'm very attractive. As a result, I have been with a lot of attractive women. But last week, I was with a friend of mine, Lance Germain, and a buddy of mine was Ted and Barb, Bob Richter, and they were having a Bucket of Bud promotion, and the Bucket of Bud promotion is $5 for $5, so I went ahead and drank probably about 6 or 7 beers. I mean, and there was certain things that I remember. I remember ordering it. I did see some... do some karaoke.
Well, who is Jasmine Connolly? Who is this woman?
She's the girl that I went back to her apartment with.
And what's the problem here?
Certainly, the women I ordinarily am romantic with look a lot like... Have you ever seen Jenna Jameson? She's an adult film actress.
I don't know if I've seen her or not.
Have you ever seen Pamela Anderson?
Yes, I have seen Pamela Anderson.
All right. Most of the women that I go out with look like... either Jenna James or Pamela Anderson. I'm not trying to be, I don't think I'm that hot or anything, but I'm just trying to tell you the facts.
All right, so what happened?
The woman that I went home with was not of that caliber. She was very ugly, I thought. What I call a bush pig or a two-bagger.
Can we describe her in ways other than bush pig?
Okay, I mean, she was frightening.
Can we describe her in ways other than frightening, bush pig, and two-bagger?
She was frightening. I mean, what...
All right, so she was ugly.
She was not up to my standards, no. And and in the history of my life, I never ever, since 1992, when I first went to the Rusty Pelican, have I ever, ever gone home with and slept with something that looked like that. Budweiser beer is the first time that I drank Budweiser beer, is the first time that I went home with this woman. In my estimation... Budweiser's responsible for, A, loss of esteem in the eyes of my friends. My bartender, who used to have a good opinion of me, now does not have a good opinion of me. 10 years of going into the Rusty Pelican with nothing but top-notch looking women, I had a certain status. Now that's shot to hell. People saw me going back to my car with this thing.
All right, what was so bad about this woman, man? You talk about Budweiser. For the first time you drink Budweiser, and you go home with what you call a pig.
Well,
what was wrong with her?
Well, for starters, she was a brunette. Okay, she looked like she had capped teeth. She wore eyeliner. Her toenails were not painted. She was wearing pants that were loose around her hips, and her top was not a see-through top. Okay, so she had...
That's what you call a bush pig.
Again, Mr. Henry, you have to understand, I have different standards maybe from you.
Oh, well, okay. I mean, look...
Please don't get defensive, because I was asked to come on your program.
Well, look it. you're right. I don't want to be angry at you.
Because what I'm talking about is the fact that I have a 10-year reputation that has been badly, badly damaged after I drank Budweiser.
You are saying that Budweiser beer caused you to go home with an ugly woman.
That is the only... If you look at science, if you know anything about science, you have to recreate the laboratory model and introduce different variables. The only variable in that night was the fact that I drank a Budweiser. And Mr. Henry, there's a slogan that they use called "This Bud's for You." And in our advertising, and when I go before Congress in early November, I'm going to tell Congress that this bush pig is for you, because that's what happens when you drink this beer.
So that is part of the pitch you're going to give to Congress?
Yes, sir, because I believe we've got a lot of men ages 18 to 34 years of age who are single men, who do patronize a lot of different restaurants, who go in there with good faith, and go in there with good faith that they're going to have a good time, and that their quality of the kind of stuff that they go home with will not be compromised. And you go into some bars that'll serve you Budweiser and you never had it before, and then the quality of the stuff that you go home with is suddenly compromised, and you're going home with some something that's frightening, and the beer is very dangerous for the vulnerable men too.
And you're pretty sure this is Budweiser's fault?
Again, that's the constant.
Is it possible that you just got drunk and it could have been on anything?
No, because I've drunk...
You say you drink Captain Morgan's and Coke.
I drink Captain Morgan's and Coke. And if you look at the alcohol content, Captain Morgan Coke, that's way more than Budweiser beer.
All right, Chris Norton joins us from Manhattan Beach, California. He's going to be speaking before, or at least he has an appointment to see a couple of congressmen in November. The story is that he went home with a woman that he thought was ugly after drinking. How many beers?
I drank six.
These were Budweisers?
Yes, sir, they were.
I guess it doesn't matter whether they were long neck or whatever?
Well, they were long neck beers.
I mean, they weren't in a can?
No, sir, they were long neck. It was a bucket of beer. It was called Bucket of Bud Promotion. You get five Buds for $5.
Okay. Your claim is that Budweiser caused you to go home with an ugly woman, and you slept with her?
I had sex with her, yes, sir.
And usually you don't have sex with ugly women.
No, sir, I don't. And I'm not trying to say that I'm anything special, but I just have a certain standard.
And that standard was ruptured the night of September the 27th, 2002, when you had six Budweiser beers and went home with a woman that you consider to be, and I'm quoting now, a bush pig.
Yes, sir.
And what you call a bush pig, she was a brunette with capped teeth, wore eyeliner, didn't have toenails painted, was wearing pants that were too loose around her hips, and she wasn't wearing a see-through top.
Well, yeah, you have to understand, the quality of women that come into Rusty Puck in Manhattan Beach is outstanding. It's outstanding. And the women are beautiful. And all of a sudden, for me, out of all the beautiful women that are in there, to go after her.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know that you can hold Budweiser beer or any liquor responsible for going home with an ugly woman.
But right now, because Mothers Against Drunk Driving and Students Against Drunk Driving have petitioned Congress to make the bars culpable for any drunk driving that happens, okay, or any accident or any crime that's committed under alcohol.
Well, that's a crime. If I drink too much at a bar and I go out and I kill somebody with my car, there have been lawsuits filed against these bars because it's a crime, all right? But going home with an ugly woman isn't against the law.
But it compromises my civil rights, sir.
Well, you might have a civil case, your civil rights. What civil rights are you talking about? The fact that
I have a 10-year reputation of going home with good-looking women, and now I'm going home with this hanky. She's a hanky one. And
so in the eyes of your friends, you are somehow compromised?
But in the eyes of my friends, yes, sir, I'm compromised.
How does that affect your business? You say that you were a part-time adult film star, is that right?
Yes, sir, I've been in adult films.
And you were a stand-in or something in some Jerry Bruckheimer movies?
I have my SEG card with a Screen Extra deal, yes, sir.
So if you go home with an ugly woman from a bar, is this going to affect your ability to be in pornographic films or adult films?
It's possible, sir, because, again, a lot of people that I go to the Rusty Pelican with or people that I work with, they see me go home with the pig, then I don't know. It just what I'm saying is I have a reputation, I have an image, and it ruins my reputation, my image, what I'm saying.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Chris Norton, a part-time adult movie actor. He also is a stand-in on regular films. He drank 6 Budweisers, and he went home for the first time in his life with an ugly woman. Here is Courtney on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
I think that you are a big moron because just because she might be unattractive to you doesn't mean she's ugly to someone else. And Budweiser didn't force you to drink beer and make you have sex with an ugly woman. So therefore,
that's true. But Budweiser doesn't advertise if you drink our beer, your judgment is going to be impaired to the point where you are no longer yourself. I've drunk Cap Morgan's and Coke for 10 years, and I've always associated with women that I consider to be extremely attractive. I don't know if you know who Jenna Jameson is, but the women I go out with, huh? What?
No, I know who Jenna Jameson is.
Okay, the women that I go out with look very much like her or Pamela Anderson. Now I go into a bar, they're having a bucket of Bud promotion, so I go, what the hell, you know, I'll bite. So I gave them $5 to drink 6 Budweiser beers, and I'm going home with a woman who's hanky. I think there is a definite connection between their serving me the Budweiser and me going home and having to sleep with a woman I'm not used to.
Yeah, but I'm trying to understand what the civil claim is here.
The fact I'm in adult films.
So being in adult films, you have a reputation now of sleeping with ugly women.
That, yes, sir, that's right.
You're in adult films. You sleep with anything they tell you to sleep with.
I sleep with some very, very hot women.
Well, that's your opinion. What you think is hot is not necessarily...
If it's my opinion, how come guys are renting movies to see them?
Well, guys are also renting movies with bigger women and with women with penises.
If you know any guys like that, I would run, okay? Okay? I mean, I'm talking about mainstream adult films. I feel violated by Budweiser beer. I feel I've been violated and possibly raped by them.
Well, that's a strong word, sir, to say you're raped.
But I have a reputation. Ma'am, I've had sex with very, 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 very beautiful women. And the only time I end up with a wild boar on top of me, I had a Budweiser beer.
If you have a reputation, then why are you broadcasting it on the radio that you slept with an ugly woman?
Because I have a legitimate claim against a Budweiser.
I really don't think you do.
Well, I mean, you're not a lawyer.
It.
You're not a lawyer, so... And, you know, I please don't tell me what you look like, too.
Well, that's not necessary, all right?
Well, she's taking that stand, Kyle, because she's...
All right, thank you very much, Courtney.
You're welcome.
I have to warn other men, and Congress is going to listen to me come November 17th.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Chris Norton here on the Phil Hendry Show. For the first time in his life, he's a part-time adult film actor, so he's in porn. He also does some other job. I forget what it is. What was his other gig? Oh, he's an extra. He has a Screen Extra Guild card. So he's an actor, and he said that after drinking 6 Budweisers, he went home with what he called a wild boar, an ugly woman. And he has, in 10 years of frequenting this bar, only gone home with good-looking women. He says that Budweiser has violated him, and he wants to testify before Congress. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
You believe the woman saw you drinking Budweiser? I'm with Chris Norton, by the way, folks. Welcome back to our show. He is a part-time adult film actor. He's an extra in the movies. He is going to be going to Washington to hopefully have some members of Congress hear his story that after drinking six Budweiser beers, he went home with an ugly woman.
Well, I mean, the point I was trying to make, Phil...
What was this point of her taking advantage of you?
Yes, sir. I mean, I had a funny feeling that this freaky-looking woman that I've... Yes, sir, I did go home with her, saw me drinking the Budweiser, knew that she could take advantage of me. If that's the case, Budweiser, I think, has more to answer for than just what I think. I've had to wear... I mean, literally... try to stay away from people so they know that I'm not the one that banged this billy goat. And
you've used terms like billy goat, and you've used terms like...
I'm sorry, sir.
You've used terms like butter hog. I'd like you to not use these terms.
I apologize, sir. I'm sorry.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Pam. Go ahead, Pam. You're on The Phil Hendry Show.
Hey.
Yes.
Well, I think this man is insane. He is crazy. And why are you breathing crazy? This man's crazy.
Okay, thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. Chris, where are you going to go from now? You going to go to Washington, D.C.?
Yes, sir. I'm going to go to Washington and speak with a consortium of three congresspeople about the fact that Budweiser beer has been a contributing factor to me going home for the first time in my life with, you don't want me to call her a butter hog, but...
An ugly woman.
An ugly woman. Congress, I believe, is back in session early November, and will speak with me about that. But I'm pretty certain that what I can do is have Budweiser at least temporarily taken out of these bars.
You drink Captain Morgan's and Coke. You drink. Do you ever drink beer?
I don't. I drink rum.
So you drink rum most of the time, which has a much higher alcoholic content than beer.
I understand that, but...
So what do you think Budweiser has in it?
I don't know what it has in it, but I'll tell you, this woman that I went home and slept with saw me drinking the Budweiser, and that, to me, proves...
So they know something about the Budweiser that you don't know?
Either it's something in the hops or the barley. You have to understand, you go home after 10 years of going home with nothing but good-looking women, and then you roll over in the morning, and you take a look, and you see, you know...
It's just calm down, okay? Calm down. What did you see?
I mean, I roll over and...
What did you see when you rolled over?
I rolled over and...
All right, don't tell me what you saw. What did you do?
I ran into the shower and I cried. I mean, she knew I would bump her ugly if I drank the bucket of Bud. That's the fact. So that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, pal, good luck with it. You're not filing a lawsuit, huh?
No, I'm not going to sue Bud yet. I want to see if I can get help from Congress.
All right, Chris Norton, who drank six Budweiser beers and slept with what he calls a hillbilly butter hog... And now your reputation is ruined.
Well, if I don't get back to work as an adult film star, I'm one of the hottest... I'm an up-and-coming performer. And the other thing that grossed me out about her is she had real breasts, which I'm not used to at all.
You're not used to real breasts?
No, sir.
Well, I do. Most women have real breasts.
Well, not the ones that I date. Most of the breasts that I know are firm, and they're firm, and they're, you know, there's like a solid in there, man. These were all squishy, and I might have to... The other thing that may be a problem, I may have to boil my junk before my next shoot. And that could...
Boil your junk?
Yeah, they're not going to let me back in that thing. So that's a lot of stuff that's just kind of a bummer.
All right, Chris, good luck to you.
Look, is that it?
Yeah, that's it, man.
You guys don't want my phone number?
No, I don't want your phone number, dude. I'll read about you when you're on Capitol Hill, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
I mean, I got billy goat all over me.
I don't, that doesn't matter to me. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Chris Norton there. He's got billy goat all over him. Our website, philhendryshow.com. Don't miss it. Don't miss it, baby, because we are going to be selling our Best of the Year 2002 CD, World Famous. Available now. Well, not available now. Available when we tell you it's available. But we're beginning production on it. It'll be available on our website very, very soon. Our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Check out the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, the Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt, and oh, so very much more. We'll be right back on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, in entertainment news here, the poll in Entertainment Weekly is which Soprano character won't survive season four? And they've got Ralphie, Uncle Junior, Paulie, Christopher, Furio, and Silvio. And if you don't know who these characters are, there's no explaining that I can do that will make you understand. If you don't watch Sopranos, then that's your tough luck. You don't watch Sopranos, then there's something wrong in your house. Anyway, Ralphie is a scumbag. Uncle Junior is a real piece of work. Paulie he's fun. Paulie Walnuts is good. I like him. Christopher is cool. I like him, too. Furio, I don't know whether I like that whop or not. And Silvio, ain't he the one that's played by Stevie Van Zandt? He's getting his nose whacked out of shape, if you'll pardon the expression, because he's starting to get a little bit far afield, you know. But the one they don't mention is Janice, which is Tony's sister, and if anybody needed to get killed, it's her. Now, here you got Ralphie, who was living with Jackie April's widow, whatever her name is, Rosemary or something. She's not bad-looking. She's certainly way better-looking than that Janice. But Ralphie wants to go over and sleep with her? You talk about a hillbilly butterhog. You talk about your Sicilian hillbilly butterhog. Wow! And you talk about ugly. With a face like that, that only a mother could love. Only a mother butterhog could love that kisser. And Ralphie moved out, was moving in with her, and now she pushed him down some stairs, so his back almost got broken. The last thing he says is, I'm going to kill you, right? Now, she's already killed one boyfriend, which was Richie April. She shot him when he slapped her. Now she's almost killed Ralphie. Do you think he's going to let that stand? Which of those two actors would you have killed to survive season four? I would kill her, because Ralphie is a more interesting character. She's irritating every time she's on the screen. Every time she's on the screen, you want to just, could you move on. She's got some big-time problems, all right? So, let's hope that maybe Ralphie will beat her to death like he did that dancer last year. And I say that, of course, with all due respect to the women listening, but it was a pretty cool show. All right. And he was on TV last year saying, after I beat that dancer to death, or after my character did, I had all these women coming up to me and saying, oh, you're so sexy. So it ain't me that's saying it. And in other entertainment news, the eldest son of Oscar-winning director Steven Spielberg, his father, is following in his father's footsteps. 17-year-old Max Spielberg recently completed work on his first movie, a short thriller called Snapshot, which he wrote, produced, directed, shot, edited, and everything else during a filmmaking workshop. The aspiring filmmaker attended the 4-week workshop at the New York Film Academy, and it was held in the back lot of Universal Studios during the latter part of the summer. The film's about a tourist couple, blah, blah, blah. There's no immediate plans for the film to receive a public exhibition. It will be for his own personal use when he pursues other avenues in the industry. Max, Spielberg's son by Amy Irving, is the eldest of 6 kids. Boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Kid, do yourself a favor and change your name. Just change your name. And that goes for Colin Hanks and any of these guys. Without exception, well, with very few exceptions, the kids of these big stars oft times do not do well. And I think a lot of it has to do with the name. There was a guy by the name of Bing Crosby for a long time. He had four sons. Every last one of these guys tried to get into show business, and every last one of them was horrible. And when you read the name Crosby, you immediately compared to the old man, so that furthered your opinion that they stunk. It was pathetic. Then there was, I don't even want to mention the name, should I? What was Jack Lemmon's kid, Chris Lemmon? What was that? The guy got more FaceTime, he was in magazines. I don't even know if he was in any movies. Look him up on IMDb. I think I saw him in a couple of magazines with his old man. He looked just like his old man. I think that was probably one of the... Then Robert Mitchum's son tried to get into some things. And John Wayne's kid, Patrick Wayne, tried to be an actor for a while. Frank Sinatra Jr. Now we got Colin Hanks. Change your name. Change the last name. And believe me, life becomes a beautiful thing. People will treat you like every other scumbag, and then you can answer the question you've been asking yourself your whole life. Do people like me for me, or because I happen to be related to the old man? You'll find out. They don't like you even if you're not related to the old man. And that's got to be good news. No, they'll like you. I'm sure they'll like you if you're good. Look at me. I kept the name of my father, and it's been a problem ever since. Oh, you're Herb Henry's kid, huh? Yes, I am. Well, who was he again? Now, who's Kate Hudson's mother? Goldie Hawn. She changed her name. She changed her name to her dad's name, which is why her name is Hudson. What do you mean she changed her name? That's her dad's name. She ain't got the name. See, her old man is, what's his name? No, it's Bob Hudson or Bill Hudson. It's Emperor Hudson. It's Bill Hudson. It's Ricardo Hudson. And because she's got her old man's name, she's fine. Because her old man, I don't know who the hell he is. He was from the Hudson brothers? Was that like the Marx brothers? It was a comedy show called the Hudson brothers, I'm told. I never heard of it, and I'm sure that it was fine, just because I didn't hear of it. But I reserve the right to make fun of other bad shows, just because I happen to be the host of one. The Hudson brothers? What's that, like the Ritz brothers? Tell me they weren't throwing pies. Were they... They were like the Bee Gees, I'm told. They were the American Bee Gees / Smothers Brothers. Get out of here. Any act that ends with the name Brothers, hey, brother, any act that ends with the name Sisters is even worse. You know, they had the Hudson Brothers and the Smothers Brothers. When's the last time they had the so-and-so sisters? How far back do we got to go for that? The Lemon Sisters or the Lennon? Remember them on the Lawrence Welk thing? The Lennon Sisters. Oh, no, wait a minute. The Roach Sisters were cool. The Roach Sisters from, like, 1980. Did you ever hear the Roach Sisters? You'd like them. There were like two of them were lesbians. One was married to the guy Loudon Wainwright. Who's the son? Who's the gay son? Rufus, yeah. The father was married to one of the Roach sisters, I believe. In fact, he wrote a song, Loudon Wainwright, when he saw Rufus being nursed by his mother as a baby. He wrote a song called Rufus is a Blank Man. Rufus is a T-Man. About his son, which is ironic because the son turns out to be, anyway, Chris Lemon. His son's flamboyant. Chris Lemon, still out there, still pitching. Good for you, Chris. He's 2 years younger than me. He's in a flick called Just the Ticket. He was in another movie called Land of the Free. Wishmaster. Have you heard of any of these? Thunder in Paradise, Basic Values, Sex, Shock, and Censorship in the 90s, Lena's Holiday, Firehead, Corporate Affairs, Knots Landing, Dad, Open House, Yellow Pages, Duet, Weekend Warriors, That's Life, The Outlaws, Cannonball Run 2, Swing Shift. Chris has given the big thumbs up to Cannonball Run 2 and Swing Shift. Uncommon Valor, I heard of that one. Yeah, this is the TV version of Uncommon Valor. It was not the Gene Hackman one. COD, Just Before Dawn, Happy Hooker Goes Hollywood. He played a character in that one called Robbie Rotman. Just Tell Me You Love Me. Seems Like Old Times. Remember that one? Remember that? I don't, but my wife watches it a lot. What's the one? Oh, yeah, this time, same time next year. I go up to Mendocino with my wife. They filmed this cornball movie same time next year in Mendocino. And so she says, we got to rent this movie because we're in this little hotel in Mendocino. I go, fine. So I sit down and I watch this thing. It's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life, and Maria's crying all the way through it. Have you ever had that experience, a completely opposite experience to a movie, where you're with your wife or you're with your husband, and she's bawling during this scene that was so over the top, so ham-fisted. Notice since I got into TV, I'm using a lot of those terms. Over the top and ham-fisted. I wanted to cry. Not because the movie made me cry, but because I wanted to cry that she was crying over this scene. She said, what are you crying for? I said, because you're crying. It's making me cry. She's crying over such a freaking bad movie, it makes me want to heave. Then he was in Mirror, Mirror, Brothers and Sisters, and Airport 77. Oh, whatever. Chris Lemon. You're all right, Chris. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, ESPN's got a cool list. This is called the Top 10 Things That Have Gotta Stop. Top 10 Things That Have Gotta Stop. Some of the stuff I agree with. I'm not sure really what I don't agree with, but I'll read the list. If you're a sports fan, you recognize all of these things as phenomena at a variety of games. Starting with the tomahawk chop, which is lame. It has been lame since the first day it was introduced. And the only people that don't get it are the ones that do it. The tomahawk chop has been a laughable thing since the first time the first fan did it. Especially when we used to see Jane Fonda and Ted Turner doing it. What in God's name? It's a lame, silly thing. That's fine. The people that do it, they dig it. They don't get it. All those cats that don't get why Indians are upset with Indian names for teams. Like, I've often heard this.
Oh, don't they have anything better to worry about?
And when you say the obvious to them, when you say, okay, then why don't we have a team called the Jesus Christ, you know, the Saviors, and we can have a Jesus running around on the sidelines with a cross waving to the fans. What do you think?
Well, then, you know, probably the guy would say, hey, that sounds good to me.
If the cat would say, that's all right, I'm all right, okay, then I'll go for the Indian names. If I can call my team the Saviors... And there's a guy running around with a crown of thorns, and he's, you know, there's a cat, there's a mascot running around with a crown of thorns and a cross. See, Native Americans, they think it's the same thing, but I realize they're just Indians, so who cares about them, right? Number two, electronic admonitions to fans about when they should cheer, right? Cheer. Make some noise. Back in the day, it was simply, and you go, charge, you know. Football coaches getting doused with Gatorade. What's that up about, anyway? Why would they do that? I think it started with something hostile, like, all year long we had to listen to this piece of crap. Now we won the championship. Here's what you get. Unbelievable that anybody would think that's an honor. I think it was a... First guy I saw get doused with Gatorade was Bill Parcells of the Giants, and I think it's because the players couldn't stand his guts at all. I think it because of a long season, listening to him running his mouth, they finally said, hey, look at this. We won the championship, so here's what you get, Bill, for all of your big-mouthing, for all of your pain-in-the-ass meetings, all of your X's and O's, all of your chalkboard talks, and all of your come-on-you-guys-we-can-do-it and your phony baloney halftime speeches. Take this. Number four, fans who hold up signs that suck up to the network televising the game. I never believed that those signs are for real. I think those are signs that are made by the networks. I honest to God, I do. Unless, of course, you want to make a sign and hold it up so you can get your face on TV. In which case, I could dig that. I never had a guy hold a sign up in front of me. Because if I did, there'd be a fight in Section H. Dot races or any other scoreboard contest, playing Who Let the Dogs Out, NBA mascots who need springboards to dunk, people talking on their cell phone behind home plate and then waving to the camera. Now, here's the question. When are they ever going to get it into their big, fat, dumb heads that when you have a reporter standing on the scene with a group of people behind him, and he could be talking about 18 people who've just been murdered with a chainsaw, and there's some guy behind there going, "Ooh, yeah!" You know, east side, yeah! Yes, Bill, I'm here at the site of a home that was burned to the ground with five people in it. You can't recognize the corpses. And behind a guy, he's like, why do you guys insist on doing that? Have the guy do it in front of a wall. Just a wall. Go to any wall. Go to any place where a guy can't stand behind him and stand there and go, okay, five people got burned up in a fire. Otherwise, he's standing there with a group of... These people, of course, are very upset about that. Yeah, very upset about this. There's a guy there, he's got on that rainbow wig, and another dude with the 316, and, you know, John 316. Some other cat doing the cabbage patch, you know. Some cat doing the Atlas pose. They're not upset about Jack. Guy making fart noises with his armpit. He's back there, too. And this guy's talking about how somebody went out of control and drove a car into a nursery. Jesus. That all started, I remember I was watching the Olympics on TV, and one of the local guys is standing there, and he had to tell him to shut up. I mean, we're here in front of the, and, you know, the next thing you hear is, yeah! Back to you. Never heard a thing. People who scramble over one another to get a $3 t-shirt thrown into the stands. That's one of the real irritants of going to indoor events. If you go to hockey, and arena football does the same thing, they have people who come out with slingshots and they slingshot t-shirts into the crowd. And these people think they're stars. You know, they point to the crowd, they come out on their knees, they do their bows, and it becomes a competition. So they'll slingshot some cheesy piece of garbage t-shirt that's going to fall apart after two washes and the logo's going to come right off. And they're beating the hell out of each other for these things. So if anybody dies up there, you can blame those guys that come out with those knee pads on with their little slingshots. And I went to that arena football game. Guess what they had in the middle of between plays? I went to see the LA Avengers. This was between plays. It must have been a TV timeout because both teams are still on the field. And some Kiss impersonators came out onto the field. It's four guys with guitars doing rock and roll all night. Can you dig that? I mean, they came onto the field and did this. And then they walked off, and you want to... It's not Kiss, but it looks like them. Yeah! All right! They look so cool. And then finally, singers who lip-sync the Star-Spangled Banner. I used to think that lip-syncing the Star-Spangled Banner was a bad thing. I think it's a good thing, because if you start out in the wrong key on that song, forget about it, Charlie. And I'll tell you the place where everybody dies a horrible, screaming, seething death. It starts out with, oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? And the rocket's red glare. Well, you know, if you are at the wrong key, you're going to go, and the rocket's red glare. And I heard that happen one night at Dodger Stadium. This poor guy, he was an L.A. cop. He was from the Los Angeles Police Department. I guess he was with the men's LAPD choir or something. He had a great voice. He really had a good voice. But they got him going too high. It was, oh, say, can you see? And when he finally got to, and the rocket, he had to... Poor cat, and he had the whole half of the song he had to finish. The bombs bursting in air gave proof to the night of the land. You saw Mr. Who?
Miyagi.
Who's Mr. Miyagi? Oh, he sang at Dodger Stadium?
Yeah.
Well, so what? Did he screw it up? I used to hate listening to Jeffrey Osborne do those Laker games, because that guy was the king of, say, can you see? By the way, Craig, we're trying to do a show here. Could you forget about your Mr. Freakin' Miyagi at the Dodger Stadium? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Forget about it. NFL this week. Oh, we forgot to do Joe Dickhead. All right, well... Next time, it's the Phil Henry Show.